Okay. All right, everyone, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Welcome, Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since November. Since last year, that's true. All right, so I'd like to call the meeting to order and please let the record note that all is present except for Munoz and Hale. And now I'd like to take a minute for the Pledge of Allegiance that Mr. Joe Woods will lead us in. Does anybody have any announcements that they would like to make? Okay, Mr. Joe Woods, I know you do.
I had a couple. Thank you, Chair Crowley, and good evening, Commission. I had just a couple of quick ones I wanted to follow up. It's not on your agenda this evening, but I wanted to let you know that two items did go to City Council on your recommendation for approval. That would be the art donation, which is a repainting of the bus shelter, as well as the Fisherman's Family Sculpture, which is out of Target Rock. Those both went to City Council and were approved unanimously. Second item I had was that we have a new interpretive panel that depicts chess and the giant chessboard, and that is on-site. We are going to be installing it in the next week or so with a grand unveiling. We're targeting the 28th of this month, which is January 28th, We're hoping that key players in this project will be available, and we'll have a firm announcement via email to all commissioners and council for their attendance and our unveiling. So it's a new interpretive panel going at Centennial Parkway, and we should have that up in a couple weeks. That's all I had.
Mr. Woods, would you explain what is an interpretive panel for those people that do not know?
Interpretive panel is a panel similar to the ones you see along the Harbor Walk, along the Embarcadero street ends. Typically, they depict a certain section of nature. It's somewhat visual to bring the user, the participant, into and engaged in the topic, and then it fills in with some educational background information regarding whatever the topic is. If it's ocean pollution, if it's ocean birds, if it's dunes, several different topics of nature. And this one particularly is about chess and about the chess board and about the game of chess. And it's a fun interpretive panel, and it's not a real big serious panel, but it has some unique features. And then we'll be unveiling it later this month. So a little bit of suspense.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Is it very similar to the one that they have at the going towards the rock? And there's a panel out there showing different things like what those bags, those plastic bags, do to the animals and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that particular interpretive panel is about the environment and pollution and whatnot. And this one is very similar as far as the type of panel. It's going to be on a double pedestal, and it's weatherproof, and it's the color doesn't fade, and there's a lot of things that go along with that interpretive panel. But it's all about chess. And so if you're a fan of chess, this would be a great opportunity to get reacquainted and come on out.
Okay. Thank you. And now we'd like to open the public comment period. Members of the audience wishing to address the commission on city business matters other than the scheduled items may do so at this time. Hi.
How you doing? I think he's going to time me 3 minutes. Hi, I'm Gary Hickson. I do a lot of these meetings. I think you guys are doing a really good job for Parks and Rec and skateboard track. And I'm going to be doing some filming on Channel 2. I'm doing my own television show, and we'll be showing the rock and the beaches, and we might be doing a show like called Morro Bay Watch and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm involved in local government, and I think we're into a good new year, and we had a hard year last year, and I think everybody's doing a good job at the City Council, and Parks and Recreation is it's an interesting thing. You got the Blue Roof building, you got that Senior Center, and then Salvation Army, and Albertsons, and there's a lot of stuff to do with Museum of Natural History. Also, you can go on the Docent hikes. Those are really interesting, and I try to go on a lot of those. And so people see me around with a movie camera now. I finally got the movie camera going, so I try not to film people without permission for the FCC. So also the mayor, Janice Peters, she was trying to get a lot of film crews to come here, but it's not really necessary now because I've got a camera on my shoulder, and I'm getting a tripod, and I'm going out there and going to put us on the map, you know. So we might be doing shows similar to like Little House on the Prairie and the Mary Tyler Moore Show and stuff like that. So I didn't want to go too long. I'm kind of nervous about speaking about this. I don't expect to come out and start handling this, but I like going to these meetings. And the more people we get to these meetings, the better. Like if they were in Hollywood and they had Drew Barrymore and Tom Cruise, if they went to those meetings. They don't, though, because they're kind of rich and all that. But I think that's basically what I'm doing. I'm not Drew Barrymore, but I'd like to get to that point. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I think you guys are doing a great job, and that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming down. And remember, this is a public event, so people have comments or things. We sure like to have them come down here and talk with us. So thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, we're going to close up the public comment period, and we're going to move on to our consent calendar. Does the commission request to pull any item?
I would like to have D4.
And is your mic on?
A4, I beg your pardon.
A4, yeah.
A4, this is relative to the tennis courts.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. I'd like to make a motion to accept A1 through A3 to file. Pull A4.
Okay, I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, then we will move to A4.
Certainly, I can start with the tennis courts, and I can highlight anything else the commission would like to discuss regarding this report. The Del Mar Tennis Courts has been a project that's been on the books for a while, as you all know. We're very excited to have our contractor on site today for a pre-construction meeting. Our engineer from Public Services, Barry Rands, is in charge of the project. Obviously, we've got a team effort in some of his staff and as well as our staff that will be on site. The groundwork is scheduled to be started next Monday, which I believe is the 23rd. And there'll be the lower part of the parking lot on Ironwood will be closed off for construction staging. The dog park will remain open and accessible, as well as the roller hockey rink. It'll probably be a little bit cumbersome if we're going to be wanting to access that portion of the park during construction time, which is 7 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. But I think later afternoon uses of the park will go uninterrupted. The courts themselves will be soft courts, as been predetermined. We know there's going to be additional maintenance involved in that, as we're talking with the contractor today. Malibu Pacific's put a lot of these courts in. So we're just excited about, you know, getting the ground broke and working on some drainage. There'll be some changes to the project that we've already discussed with the contractor. Access gates on both sides of the tennis courts seems very reasonable with common sense, so we're going to be adding that in. And then there's also the question about domestic water and having a drinking fountain at that site, as well as extending the water down to the dog park and having water access for both the small and the large dog areas. That change order is in the works, and we do plan on having that happen sometime within the construction of the courts themselves. So there may be some inclement weather that slows this process down, but we're hoping that this immediate rain, either tonight or tomorrow, is going to be light enough for us to start on Monday. In conjunction with this project, we are doing some drainage improvements on the east end of the park, which is on the very top of the park. As you come off of Ironwood, you stay to the east. That ranch fence border that we have is going to be replaced by Chevron, and through that replacement, we've got to work on some of our drainage issues. So we're going to be doing some redraining and then taking the grass from the tennis court area up and regrassing the area that we're going to be working on drainage. So there'll be a lot of activity starting Monday at that park. It'll slow down midweek and just be concentrated on the tennis courts themselves. So I hope I've given you a little bit of an update on that particular project. If I can answer any questions on that before I move on, I'd be happy to.
Are there any plans to install restroom facilities?
We do not have any plans on installing any additional restroom facilities at Del Mar Park at this time. Porta potties down in that west end of the park for tennis and dog park use would be something that we're not in a position to subsidize at this time. I think if that was to come forward, we would be looking for a sponsor to help financially support that program.
You say there is in the works water.
At both.
Yes, we're definitely working on a change order to include water supply with drinking fountain at both those locations, the tennis courts and the dog park. Any other questions on the tennis courts? I'll move on to any of the highlights that we have.
So you're breaking ground on new tennis courts at Del Mar Park next week?
Yeah, Monday.
That's very exciting. And I didn't catch the end date or the final.
They're scheduled to be completed within a couple of months. Wow. So we're looking at 8 to 10 weeks. And it's going to be depending on the weather.
Great.
We're talking about the grading is less severe than was initially proposed because of the cultural resources that are on that site. And so we will have a cultural resource monitor there throughout any kind of excavation and any kind of groundwork. We're hoping that it's all clear. We have one potential dry well that's going to go deep and wide, and we're hoping that that comes up clean as well. But we have resources in place in case we do find any artifacts.
And will the dog park participants, will they need to be rerouted to get to the dog park at all? Or because usually they walk right through there.
No, the tennis court project will be fenced in and secluded from pedestrian traffic. So they're going to be as safe as they can. Towards the end, we'll be asking the Morbay Pups to step up and finish up their access from the tennis courts to the dog park themselves, and they're prepared to do that asphalt walkway, which has already been based in. But their access should not be impeded. And if it was for any kind of day or two, we would open up the service access gate on the north end of the dog park and allow them to have access through there if it came down to that. But we're not anticipating that at this time.
Okay.
I have another question relative to the tennis courts. Is there any possibility, maybe down the road, a ways for lights?
We have not scheduled for lights or future lights for that site. And part of the public input when we were processing this particular project was that we would not venture into the light aspect of these courts because of the proximity to the residents. And the view corridor, the light corridor that you have. And you can take an example out of the development at the Cloisters Park. There are lights on either end of the park, but not down the center because that is a view corridor. And light pollution is an issue that is addressed in the CEQA documents. And that's something that we avoided in this particular project, and I still believe that that's the right path to go with.
Thank you.
The last one on page one I would bring to your attention is the Cloisters Parkway project. We are making some headway. We have two irrigation systems already complete, C4 and 5, which to me means nothing, but for us it means quite a few lots have been completed. And we are working on the backside of that particular development down by the school district. That's Emerald. It's not Emerald Circle. That's, yeah, it's Emerald Circle, pardon me, down in the west, the south end of the Cloisters cul-de-sac. And we are working on the parkways, and we continue to dig out and replace with medium and low profile grasses. And so far, it's been very well received. We've been a little slower than anticipated due to some of the resources that we have available and the amount of staffing. But we feel that we may be making the change here soon in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we can accelerate our project to get it done. We'd like to get all of our parkways finished by the end of March. So when we come into our hearings again for our assessment district, we'll have some satisfied residents with a positive direction, a positive outlook on the maintenance of that particular park and their parkways.
Is that something you guys doing in-house, Joe?
Right now we are doing it in-house, and it's become, as you know,
it looks really good. You guys have done a lot of work out there.
It's time consuming, and the guys we have are working it into other core duties. After the weekend core duties are done, they'll slide out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours to continue on the project. So I think we're going to look at some different resources to get out there and to really accelerate the project and get it finished. We're really excited about what we've done, but I think that once we get more halfway and three quarters way done, it's just going to make a huge difference.
I think it's one of those things where you count all the properties there, but you know, a good 30% of the residents have already done the work out there. So, you know, it looks big, but the reality is there's a lot of stuff that's already done, you know, by the residents out there.
Yeah, we've looked at the number of residents that have just declined on renovation, and there's quite a bit. Yeah. And once they have the parkways in front of those homes are nice. Their plants are matching what they have close to the house, so they have a plan, and they have planned maintenance that goes along with it. So they certainly help out our cause. We are working on the energy efficiency conservation block grant. Our maintenance crew is doing this one in-house as well, and we're replacing a lot of the lamps and light fixtures with LED lamps and fixtures. And then outside of this building, when you go out tonight, you'll notice that the light bollards out front are LED lamps that are installed, and the wall packs on the building as well. And we're replacing all the building lights, outside lights, with LEDs. Inside fixtures have been converted to 28 watt T8 with electronic ballast. We've got light fixtures that are going out in parks and parkways that you might be shocked to know. At Centennial Parkway, we're dropping the light standards about 2 or 3 feet. The light itself is used to be a top high-pressure sodium, very large fixture. Now it's down to a 19-watt LED about 9 feet off the ground, and the rest of that telephone pole is now being cut off at the top. So when you're looking up from the Centennial Parkway and looking down to the ocean, your view corridor is quite open now. You're not flooded with lamps. You're not congested with poles. So we take that in consideration. Is if you're a visitor or just wanted someone with a view, this, it makes a big difference. We're saving a lot of money, and we're making the area a lot more attractive. We're also doing the light fixtures on Bayshore Bluff staircase. So staircases on the outside, and then we'll venture into Del Mar Park as well. So all your parks and your staircases are going to get LED high-efficiency lights. We're reducing our fixed expenses in hopes that we can hang on to our service levels. And I think we're in a good spot, maintenance is doing a tremendous job working this in. We still are being contracted with public services to do a pre-work on the pavement management plan, so your street crew is out there working. Youth Basketball League, 33 teams, playing on Friday nights and Saturdays. So it's a good turnout for our basketball leagues. We are starting girls softball registration, as well as spring adult softball. And I will save the Dixon Halfley spaghetti dinner for our intern, Mr. Kenny Zink. And then you also have on the back page some things about youth services. We are looking to do a spring break camp this year. So it's 2 weeks in spring break. It's the first 2 weeks in April. We're working on the logistics of that particular camp. We're setting it up for to make it affordable, all-inclusive price. We're hoping that well, we have a palatable program. We know it's quality, and we know we're going to fill up. We're hoping that we don't go too full. We're looking at probably between 30 and 40 campers per day, we're hoping. And that concludes. I mean, the rest of the stuff you have on your sheets, I'd be happy to answer any other questions at this time, but we'd ask that you accept this report for file.
Okay, can I get a motion?
I move that we accept the report for filing.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so that wrapped up A, right? Now we're into D, new business. There is no public hearing. So, Mr. Woods, would you like to present the new business, please?
I would be happy to, and good evening, Chair Crowley and Commission again. D1 is a program evaluation. This particular evaluation is for the community holiday tree lighting. I only have one this evening. I know usually I have three or four for you to review. But this particular program is obviously an annual program. It happens out at City Park. We had a zero cost recovery. This is 100% community driven, and it is free of charge, and it is something that we feel is the spirit of the community, and that's why we present it each year. We have a program cost of about $468, which isn't much. Staff still puts out an allocation just because we've been doing that for so long. Here's an allocation, and it's about $250 a participant. We averaged about $200 that evening. So if we tracked it all down and really pushed ourselves to the maximum cost, it'd be just under $1,000 to put on this program. We had hot apple cider. We had cookies offered to all. These were homemade. The Senior Citizens Incorporated did a baker's call and brought just a ton of cookies in, which is always great to have. Our celebration was hosted by Mayor Yates, which did a terrific job. He opened up the kids who had at Del Mar Kids Club did a little presentation and performance. We had the high school, Morro Bay High School Chamber Choir. They did a terrific job. They are just so good and so talented and brave the elements. They usually come out in their formal wear, and or not quite formal, but they're dressed up, and it's cold out. So they hung in. They did a great job. And we had volunteer from the seniors come in and do some reading and helping out with the songs around the Christmas tree. We are going to do a few things next year a little bit differently. We're going to get a banner hanging up and get a little bit more publicity for those who aren't reading the paper or going through the newsletter. And a little larger print for Santa. He had a hard time. His eyes aren't what they used to be, so we'll have a larger print for him to read the Twas the Night Before Christmas. That was a little bit tough. And maybe a little bit better sound. So a few little tweaks in the program, but all in all, we are happy with the turnout, and the community continues to respond in a positive way, and we look forward to this program again next year. That concludes my report.
All right, thank you. Sounds like a great time. And I didn't see that Santa was escorted. Was he escorted by the police department this year?
No, we had the fire department help us out in getting him over there. Yeah. It's a little warm for the reindeer to fly, so we bring him in on the fire station. Fire truck.
Okay, now, thank you very much. We'd like to go to our new Cal Poly intern. No?
May I interrupt for just a moment? I'd like to get my report accepted for file,
oh,
sure, if I could.
Sure, need to do that. Can I get a motion to accept his report for file, please?
I'll make a motion to accept D1.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, welcome, Zink, our new Cal Poly intern. We're ready for your presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Vice Chair Crawley, commissioners and committee members. My name is Kenny Zink. I'm here to discuss the 2012 Dixon's Annual Spaghetti Dinner. If you take a look at the attached post-event staff report from 2011, it includes a list of the contributing sponsors and volunteers along with the recommendations for this year's fundraiser dinner. Recreation and Parks staff recommends the commission discuss suggestions for this year's 23rd Dixon's Annual Spaghetti Dinner. The Recreation and Parks personnel will assist in ensuring the food donations are delivered prior to the event. All other donations must be generated by Recreation and Parks Commission, the Morro Bay Community Foundation, and other community volunteers. Morro Bay Recreation and Parks and staff will begin food donation requests in January. We will look to Albertsons in Morro Bay for bread, milk, and produce, and we will look to Spencer's Market in Morro Bay for the meat donations. We have also reached out to Francesco Rinaldi, who we just heard back from, and Barilla and the American Pasta Company for pasta and sauce donations. The costs for the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department are currently undetermined, but based on last year's costs, we can estimate at just over $1,100. And this is a big event for us. Since 2007, the event has annually raised between $2,400 and $3,400 for recreation scholarships to qualified families in the community. Last year, the spaghetti dinner raised $3,371.45 to be deposited into Morro Bay Community Foundation Fund. So this year, we aim to exceed that amount. So the 23rd annual Dixon Spaghetti Dinner is scheduled for March 23rd, 2012. The ticket prices will remain the same. They'll be $7 for youth and seniors and $9 for adults. You can also purchase a family package for $26, and that's up to four people. This year, Eleanor Walt will be our volunteer coordinator, and there are a number of duties community members can get involved with, and we encourage anybody who is interested to participate. We look forward to making the fundraiser a successful event for the whole community. That concludes my report.
Well, thank you very much. That was a nice report.
Yeah, thank you. We look forward to that. I see there's a list of students that are going to be helping out, some sixth grade students. Are they helping out with the dinner as far as cooking or meet and greet?
Well, we haven't actually started coordinating who will be doing what, but I think the Kids Club members and along with Teen Center members usually help with the volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah, typically when we have youth like that, they're involved in our serving as well as the cleanup. Eleanor Walt from the Senior Citizens Incorporated will be doing her volunteer list, and it'll be kitchen assignments as far as shifts and serving food, cooking food the day of, and getting the food out to the tables and replenishing the different stations that we have. So that's a list, and then we'll also have staff has a list for you to sign up as a commissioner to volunteer, because this is our fundraiser that we're teaming up with the Morro Bay Community Foundation. And they are a small group like you are. But together, we're a large group. And we've got the resources. And so what we're looking for is we definitely need some one of you or two of you to help us out beginning, before the event, picking up the food supplies and getting them over to the community center and other donations. As you see, there's a host of people who donate and sponsor. We need boots on the ground to go and greet these people, thank them, and receive their donation and bring that back so we can incorporate it in the program. So we love to have everybody active. If your calendar is free, we really want to get you participating. Roll up your sleeves, get a little spaghetti sauce on you, and have a good time.
Great. Yeah, well, I always make a point of going, and it's always really fun. And it's important, too, because $3,000 and $371.45 went last year's fundraiser to a really important scholarship, and that's the Morovia Community Youth Foundation. And what they do is they supply scholarships for kids that want to play sports and they can't because they don't have the funds. So it's a really good cause.
I have a question relative to the dinner. I went last year. I noticed that normally with Italian food or spaghetti or any kind of a pasta dish, it's always kind of apropos to have vino. And I was wondering if they've ever entertained the idea of selling wine. Not giving it away, selling it and make a little profit.
Not at this particular dinner. We haven't.
Not?
Because the reason we don't is because it's a youth-oriented program.
Oh.
It's a family-style program with a benefit for the youth scholarships. And when we tie youth into a fundraiser, we tend to shy away from the alcohol. We have different venues that the Community Foundation puts on. And last November, we put on Morovia Sings, Elton John. And that is more of an adult-driven program where we have beer and wine, and it's a little bit more of a cabaret kind of a feel. Spaghetti dinner is something a little bit different, and we try to hold on to that tradition and have it family style and have it with just some non-alcoholic beverages. We've been doing really well. I know it's very enticing to put in the Chianti with the spaghetti, but this particular venue we try to hold off and hang on to some tradition of this program.
Thank you.
And it is a great tradition. What's the band going to be this year? Do we have a name of the band?
Well, I've got to check with staff and see who they have lined up, but they've been courting a couple of entertainers, and so hopefully one will surface and land the spotlight that evening. It's always a lot of fun to get someone in there to do some singing and do some playing. So we'll see how the staff comes up. And I think our intern Kenny Zink is going to come up with something special this year.
Okay.
We're looking forward to that.
Pressure's on.
Yeah. All right. So everybody remember to mark their calendar then. It is March 23rd this year. So mark your calendars.
Yes, sir.
March 23rd. And if people want to volunteer, they can get a hold of the Recreation Parks Department. I'll give you a phone number, 772-6281. Ask for Mr. Kenny Zink. Our intern from Cal Poly, I didn't give him his propers at the beginning of the meeting, and I apologize, Chair Crowley, that we should have made a formal introduction of our intern. Ken Zink will be with us for this semester of Cal Poly. He's a Recreation Parks and Tourism Administrative major. He's finishing up his degree with this internship. He's doing it partly at the Teen Center. Doing some program work there, and he's also doing half of it with the sports division. And I've shaved off a few hours for him to come up and speak with you tonight, and hopefully we'll get a few more boards in under his belt. So thanks for accepting him this evening. He did a terrific job with his report. But we wanted to get you engaged in this spaghetti dinner and to get you guys volunteering and bring out a friend or two to help out. And just the more the merrier, and it becomes more fun and more successful for everybody. So we'll be passing, or we'll be contacting you in the next week or two to let you know that we have openings for you. You're not getting away. There's not another meeting for us until the third Thursday in March, and that'll be a week out from the event. So we're going to need to correspond with you outside of this meeting, and we're going to need you to call us up or stop by and get engaged in this program so you can contribute, you'll feel good about it, and it'll help us out.
I don't think that'll be a problem, right,
yeah.
Commissioners?
Correct.
Right. Is there any other follow-ups on spaghetti dinner, things that you don't see as far as a suggestion that you'd want to add, something that you felt that we could correct from last year, something that went really well?
I think something fresh would be good because it's the same thing every year, something fresh, you know, to make it something new. I don't know what that would be,
okay.
But, you know, I there's definitely value in tradition. It's a great tradition, but then something fresh and new would also be nice.
We are always looking for fresh and new. And then that's, I think, this young man's got a good eye for that. So we're going to count on him for a fresh and new look.
Okay. All right. I think that concludes our new business, right? Yep. Okay. Do we have any future?
Make a motion to accept D2 to file.
All right. Make a motion that we accept D2.
And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Now we'd like to conclude new business and move forward to future agenda items. Does anybody have any future agenda items they'd like to request? I think we were talking about having a meeting in March, right, as opposed to waiting. Or no, we were thinking of having a meeting in February as opposed to waiting until March.
Your next scheduled meeting will be the third Thursday in March. If you want to have a special meeting between now and then, you could. There's not much of an urgency if we're talking about refilling our chair position and our vice chair position as we do annually. We'll have two new commissioners, hopefully, through the appointment process the City Council is going to be going through in the last part of this month. And with those two new positions being filled, we would look to the next regular meeting. We would have an election to get a chair and a vice chair and a senior representative. No huge sense of urgency as far as that being accomplished early. There aren't immediate tasks for them to be accomplished. There's a lag in the participation of the chair at the Community Foundation Board. Those two are linked. So if you were to become the chairperson, you're automatically on the Morro Bay Community Foundation board. And right now, Christy Hale is fulfilling that position. And hopefully she can stay on with the foundation a little bit longer. But she's not looking to put her hat in the ring for this next go-around. The current Chair Crowley and Christy Hale, both their positions are up. They can certainly put their application back in to get back on the commission, or there'll be applicants for City Council to review and place in. So we'd certainly be looking. So you're certainly be getting a new chair at the new election, and it's going to be in March. I thought today would be a little premature. We're going to get a couple of new people, but we could have pulled it off, but I felt like waiting, and I'm hoping that it's still in our best interest to do that.
Okay. Is this space available on the third Thursday of February? Or
the third Thursday in February will be Public Works Advisory Board. They're the ones who are every other month like we are, and they take the evens and we take the odd months.
So to hold a meeting in February, we'd have to come up with a new space?
A space and
yeah, let's wait till March.
Well, I think they're trying to get things started instead of waiting all the way to March, because then election and a new person comes in January. They don't need it. It's just, yeah. Right.
When is the deadline for them to apply to come on the commission?
I think it was yesterday or today.
Was it yesterday?
It was today.
I believe today is the deadline to put in your application.
Okay. Monday night.
Right. And what will happen is that if we get a new commissioner, which we will definitely get one, and so I will take that time in February to bring them in and give them, you know, a briefing and some paperwork, some understanding on how it works and what the expectations are and things like that, as far as commissioner orientation. So that happens in February. So they'll be ready in March to join you and be prepared for a vote. Most likely, you won't have someone come in and write to the chair. Usually you'll have someone who's been here. And that's why we stagger the years. And as far as, you know, every year there's two that come up. And I think that next year, I brought my sheet with me. Next year we've got three that will be up. In 2013, and the term is January the 31st, So this year we're looking at two. If Chair Crowley puts her application back in, could very well that we would have her back. But then next year, it's Johnny and Al and Drew that would be up in 13, and in 2014, it's going to be John and Anita that would be up. So you have a little bit more time to spend up there.
So that's the breakdown. Came in the same time.
Yeah. So that's the breakdown as far as the year. So you've got, like I said, and I was hesitant to do an election tonight. If it goes well or it doesn't go well and it's awkward and we're going to do this in March, then next year we certainly would target January to be not only the term expiration and refilling, but also an election as well. So we're a little bit off calendar, but we're hoping that we can hang on to it. So staff doesn't see the big need. I don't see a need for a special meeting. We don't have any urgent business that needs to be voted into council's approval or anything like that. So I think you'd be all right. If there's other future agenda items, I'm willing to take notes on those. We have a couple that are pending from the previous meetings, an update on the Morro Bay Cayucas Connector, and that project is being reviewed. It's the County Parks is still working on that project. We will certainly have more as that project gets through the public process. We'll have more information at your March meeting for a better update. And we'll probably have a better update on smoking as well if we can get a report together. And staff is also looking to provide you a report for on energy and what we're saving as far as energy and possibly water conservation as well. So those are a little bit longer to gather that information and bring it together so it's palatable at your level so you understand what we've been doing and how it relates to cost savings. So it's a little bit more time intense to get that report done. We're hoping to get something for you in March, though. Just the money that you generate off of the solar panels at the community center, because you are a generator of power. And right now, I think we average around 20%. But this report will give you some details on how you're doing, kind of a report card on energy. So that's some things that we have in the works. If you have other things that you're thinking about, happy to take those down now or a phone call another time.
Well, at the next meeting, if you have any more information on the pedestrian access from the Morro Rock parking area down on the beach, if there's anything new, the next meeting would be nice. And I thought at one point we discussed about new trash receptacles along there. Was that something that we talked about before? This in the works still, or
we had there's two items. I'll address your first one. The Morro Bay Rock parking lot ramp access is in an advisory board review. You were the first board to review that. It has since gone to PWAB and is now going to Harbor Advisory Board. I think the beginning of next month.
Okay, great.
So that's where that's at. We have some really good concepts that have come through a contractor. Some of the work that's being done up in Santa Cruz. You're going to see some what you've looked at is being added to, so the snowball's getting bigger, and over and at Harbor you're going to see a little bit more detailed concept.
Great.
Okay, so that helps you out. Not in detail, but more detail in the concept. And the second one,
the waste receptacles along there.
Well, we started working on going into the solar powered trash compacting Big Belly. With the accessory, with the recycling, and it seems to work out really well when we have it monitored and serviced by an adoptive park group.
Right.
And that's worked out well. Before we could get that particular program launched into that rock area, Harbor had taken it on some of the trash problems and have replaced some of the old aggregate Hanson 130 receptacles with a newer model, a sleeker model, and put a pad down. So they had jumped ahead and started doing some of that trash receptacle cleanup and replacement. We felt like we needed to step away and keep our resources into what we need to be doing, which is pothole repair and park cleanup and park maintenance and the things that we're really are higher priorities as far as council's direction. So we've laid off a few things like trash receptacles.
Okay.
But I'm glad you're still on that because it takes that kind of persistence.
Yeah, I mean, even if we just have where you've changed out a good one with the Big Belly, if we could take that one and just replace the ones that are all damaged and kind of unsightly, because the birds get in them because the sides are missing and such and make a mess. And,
well, we won't need to come back with a report on that, I don't think.
Oh, no, not a report.
But if you're just asking us to draw our attention there, we certainly would do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I can't remember. Did you give us the follow-up on the murals, the public art for the bus shelter or not?
It's been approved.
At the beginning, I had given you an announcement that both those items did go to council and then were approved 5-0 and have put back into those groups to proceed with the projects.
Okay.
And is there a starting date on that?
I have not heard of the starting date. There will be some permit, some paperwork that will be filed prior to the commencement of any work, so we'll have a heads up when it starts, but it won't start within the next couple of weeks, I don't think. And there's going to be some miniatures that are coming in. You'll see the Central Coast Women for Fisheries back at public comment, I hope sometime, to show us the miniature versions of the sculptures that will be out at the Rock. And I believe they are campaigning to auction those off as a fundraiser. So it's pretty cool. So you get involved in that, and or the Albacore enchiladas that they sell. That's a big fundraiser. So those, when you see groups out there that are fundraising, look a little deeper and figure out what the cause is before you make a decision whether to not get in, because a lot of these causes are very worthy to get into, and it's a little bit by everybody that makes a big difference. And we're excited for them to keep the project alive.
Did they decide how much they're going to sell the statues for? Because I remember that came up, but I didn't hear a price.
No, I don't think they have. I don't think they've locked
in. What they were going to be made out of.
They may have locked into a price, and it's. I think it's more of an auction, raffle. I don't know the details, but Central Coast Fisheries. Women for Fisheries is where you want to connect with it. And I think there's some contact numbers on some of their flyers for their fundraiser. So if you're interested in more information, I would encourage you to contact them directly.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't think there's anything else, so I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Anybody? I second it.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Good night.
Good night.
What's up, Gary? What's that?